Adventist World Radio SID Media. We are not general practitioners. We are specialists in Bible-based content.
And because we are specialists in Bible-based content, it is time for us to get a Bible-based answer for this question. The question is, are Roman gods and goddesses still relevant today? Pastor Robert Ngorima joins us on the line to answer this question. My pastor, good afternoon. Welcome to the program.
Good afternoon. How are you?
I'm doing well, thank you. How are you doing today?
The Lord is keeping me.
Amen. Amen. All right, so Pastor, you've heard the question. What is the answer to this question? Are Roman gods and goddesses still relevant today?
it's a good question anyway. Yeah. Quite interesting.
Yeah.
Can you just elaborate relevant in what sense to who, so that I do justice to the question?
When I saw this question, I actually extended it myself in my head because I'm thinking, were they ever relevant? I assume the listener asking this question is talking about how they used to worship all these certain deities. They had all these different deities. Do they still do that?
Okay.
Do they still worship those? And have they ever been relevant? And if they have, are they still relevant? Or have people done away with those false gods?
Okay, no, it's much more clearer. Thank you. According to my understanding, idol worshipping was there, used to be there, and is still there. It will continue till Jesus comes.
Okay.
Yes, that's the reason why we have Exodus chapter 20, verse 3 to verse around 8, where God, to verse 7, where God rebukes people from idol worshipping.
Mm-hmm.
So in every tradition, they have their own gods, and those who believe in them, to them, they are still relevant and they make use of them.
Right.
So in the Roman territory, I believe they are still believing in those gods, because they have many gods in the Roman tradition.
Right.
And those stories about the gods, they are being told and told, and the tradition is still being passed on and on and on.
So my question then would be, does that mean that there is some level of validity to their beliefs, to those in those gods? Because if there was nothing to prove their existence, surely by now people would have figured out that, okay, these are not real true gods, so let's put away these beliefs. Is it because they are actually seeing results from those beliefs, from that kind of faith? Are they seeing results, and that's what's keeping the faith, keeping the faith going?
Yes, it's quite interesting. It will be behind the idols, there is a devil who is alive, and he requires an owner. So the devil behind the idol worshipping always tries to convince those people to continue worshipping idols. Otherwise, the one who personifies himself as those gods answering questions is the devil. Answering the request is the devil.
Yes.
So the idols in themselves, there is nothing. There is nothing in them. Mm-hmm. They cannot bless. They cannot see. They cannot do anything. They cannot protect us. But the devil behind it is the one who comes in trying to prove that idols can help.
Okay. What about those who believe, for example, they're kind of in and out. So they kind of believe in the idols, but they build an idol in the image of what they believe Jesus looked like, for example. And so their belief, as they're praying to this idol, is that they're speaking to Jesus. Is there validity to that? Is there anything biblical in that?
Okay, biblically, it's the Lord is against it. It's a sin, because
okay,
we worship to a God who exists, who is in heaven.
Okay,
so there's no need to give an image similar to God who is in heaven. I think according to Deuteronomy chapter 4, mm-hmm, I think verse 16 thereabout, the Lord rebukes Israel from following the heathen cultures, where they'll carve images similar to the creatures in heaven.
Right.
So, yes, it's forbidden. We are not supposed to worship any image of any kind, be it an image similar to angels, to God, or to church founders. Any image is not supposed to be worshipped.
Got it. Got it. All right.
Yes.
Thank you so much, Pastor. I think that settles that. I think you've answered that one quite clearly. So we appreciate your time and look forward to chatting again soon.
Thank you. Thank you. God bless you. Have a pleasant time.
Thank you,
Pastor. Be blessed more.
Thank you. All right, family. That was Pastor Robert Ngorima speaking to us, answering the question, are Roman gods and goddesses still relevant today? And like I said, one would argue, were they ever relevant? And as the pastor has answered there, that we only have one God who is up in heaven. We cannot carve, or we should not be carving, any images, even if it is an image of who, what we believe him to look like. We should not be worshiping any images. Think about it this way. I don't know if you remember, in a number of instances in the Old Testament, when the Israelites would go fight with this army or that army, and they'd get there and destroy their gods. Why would you want a god that can be destroyed, a god that can be that needs you to protect him, right? So now you must protect him. If you're running from danger, you must remember to pick him up and carry him with you. What kind of a God is that? We have a God who's up in heaven, who is limitless, who cannot be contained in a box or a suitcase, who cannot be contained inside your house. And yet, as big, as great as he is, he dwells inside your heart. That just blows my mind, the supernatural power of who God is. His supernatural presence, his omnipresence is incredible. And that's one of the things that makes him God, that makes him different from any other power that you might want to lean towards or that you might want to rely on. We're believing in a God who cannot be explained and cannot be understood. He cannot be contained. That's incredible. And I am honored to know and to love him, and even more to be loved by him. I hope you feel that way too.
Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.
We're going to take a music break, and when we get back, we'll be listening to our devotion for today from Sister Rachel Masadza. So let's enjoy this music until we get into our devotion. Here is Soul Influence with Blessed Assurance.
Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine, heir of salvation, oh, purchase of God, born of his spirit, washed in his blood. This is my story. And waiting, oh, looking above, filled with his goodness, oh, lost in his love. This is my story, this is my story. This is my story.
Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media. Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.
Welcome to our devotional series, Jesus Christ, our High Priest. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the plan of salvation. We thank you for Jesus Christ, the greatest gift to humanity. How we thank you, Father, also for God, the Holy Spirit, who guides us into all truth and lead us into all parts of righteousness. We also want to thank you for the ministering spirits, the angels that come to our aid in times of need. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Our topic for today reads as follows. For they are ministering spirits. For they are ministering spirits. We shall read from Exodus chapter 25, verse 19 to 20. And make one cherub on the one end and the other cherub on the other end. Even of the mercy seat shall ye make the cherubims on the two ends thereof. And the cherubims shall stretch forth their wings on high, covering the mercy seat with their wings, and their faces shall look one to another. Toward the mercy seat shall the face of the cherubims be. May the Lord bless the reading of his word. We shall also read from Hebrews chapter 1, verse 14. Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation? May the Lord bless the reading of his word. Moses was instructed to make the mercy seat with two cherubims, angels facing each other, stretching forth their wings, covering the mercy seat with their wings whilst looking down at the mercy seat. He was instructed to make a sanctuary resembling the pattern of the sanctuary in heaven. In Hebrews 8, verse 5, we are told that it is only a copy or a shadow of the real sanctuary in heaven. John the Revelator was shown in a vision in Revelation chapter 4. He saw the throne of God and one sitting on it, surrounded by 24 elders who were wearing white robes and crowns. And there were seven flaming torches burning in front of the throne, which are the seven spirits of God. And he saw also four living creatures surrounding the throne, singing praises to the one on the throne. This concurs with what Ezekiel saw and is recorded in Ezekiel chapter 1. The living creatures were also surrounding the throne of God. Prophet Isaiah also got a glimpse of the throne of God through a vision as recorded in Isaiah chapter 6, with seraphims, six-winged angels surrounding the throne of God. From all these, we notice that the throne of God is surrounded by cherubims and seraphims. And when we look at the sanctuary that Moses was asked to make, the angels, they were facing each other, looking down upon the mercy seat. This shows that the angels, angelic hosts, they look with interest when they look at the plan of redemption. It is amazing, isn't it? Even the angels are amazed that God the Son had to become human so that he can reconcile his creatures to his Father. Hallelujah, somebody. It's therefore confirmed not only by one prophet, but three, that the angels minister in heaven around the throne of God. Cherubims, which are four-winged angels, seraphims, six-winged angels, who throng the throne of God, singing praises unto whom has created all things for his good pleasure. Hallelujah, somebody. What a sobering, amazing reality of how angels revere the Creator. We too should be inspired that angels that are unfallen beings glorify God in such a manner. What more for you and me who are fallen human beings? We must learn to live a life of praising God no matter our circumstances. For we praise God not only for what he is doing in our lives or what he has done for us, but for what he did for us through the plan of salvation. stooping so low to the level of human beings, being born of a sinful woman, struggling as we struggle today with sinful tendencies, and finally being nailed to the cross for our sins. A God who comes down to the level of his creatures is just but unprecedented. Praise, praise, praise our loving Lord Jesus. Hallelujah, Sambat. It is interesting to note that God did not leave us alone to fight the enemy and finally be overcome by his evil host. Not only did he provide us with the Holy Ghost to strengthen, comfort, and convict us, but he has given us ministering spirits in the form of angels to our aid. For we have read in Hebrews chapter 1 verse 4 that those who are heirs of salvation have the aid of ministering spirits. When you sometimes feel all alone, remember, as a child of God, you have angels ready to serve and to minister unto you. Hallelujah, Sambat. At times, angels are sent by God to answer our prayers. Just like in the story of Peter in jail, where the church was praying for him, the angel of the Lord appeared to rescue Peter as an obvious answer to the church's prayer. Sometimes God sends his angels, not in a visible manner, but they can minister or serve us in an invisible manner. It takes faith for us to be able to see that indeed, Emmanuel, God is with us, and he is sending his angels to our aid. They can come in the manner of the voice of reason that says, do not take your life. There is still hope beyond a hopeless situation. They can come as a solution to an impossible situation. All we need to do is to call upon Jesus Christ to help us in any situation, and he will deploy whatever means necessary to aid us. Angels can be sent by God to encourage us as believers. When we are down and under, with no hope, no strength to carry on, angels may be sent to give us that courage. In the Bible, we are told in Matthew chapter 4, verse 11, that the angels of God came to minister unto Jesus after he was tempted by the devil in the wilderness. We find an angel coming to strengthen Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, according to Luke 22, verse 43. In the wilderness, the angels may have come to assure Jesus Christ of the love of God. Sometimes God does not take us out of a situation, but rather he sends his assurance of his love, his presence and guidance through angels or even through other people who hearkens to the promptings of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah, Sambat. I have often struggled with doubt when I'm going through affliction, and surprisingly, I would wake up in the morning with an audio prayer from someone just praying for me. This assures me indeed Emmanuel is God with us. Or have you ever get a scripture reading that addresses the particular fear or problem that you are facing? God can send his people and his angels to minister unto us in all circumstances. We thank you, Lord, for that. Angels of God can also provide protection for believers. For David confirmed this in Psalms 34, that the angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him and deliver them. Daniel in the lion's den was protected by an angel who shut the mouth of the lion. Daniel 6 verse 22. The presence of angels to protect us, brothers and sisters, does not always mean that bad things won't happen to us. Just like the angel of the Lord was with Daniel in the lion's den, they can be with us in our crucible. The angels and God did not prevent Daniel to be thrown into the den, but shut the mouth of the lions so that they don't devour him. Hallelujah, Sambat. So in our horrible or bad unfair situations, may we not lose hope and think that the Lord has forsaken us. Rather, let's trust in him who is able to harness the devil. Hallelujah, Sambat. Just like he has commanded the sea to go this far but no further, He can do so with how much the devil can persecute you. The good Lord knows each and every one of us, as well as our breaking points. He will not allow us to be tempted beyond that which we can be able to carry. And he will provide the way out for every situation to make it bearable. Hallelujah, somebody. I've often asked God, where were you when certain calamities struck in my life? And I often get my answer in that he was at the same place where he is or he was when Jesus Christ, his son, was crucified. Hallelujah, somebody. You may be asking the same question today. Where were you, Lord, when this tragedy struck and my whole family was wiped out with COVID? Where was the guardian angel when the accident took away my mother, my brother, my father, my sister? Or where were you when the cancer ravaged my body? Or when I was violated or molested? Couldn't my guardian angel prevent it from happening? Where art thou, O Lord? Brothers and sisters, the answer is simple. God is still God, and he is still good. No matter what is happening to us, to around us, he cries with us when we cry. He is able to stop any evil plot against us. But if he doesn't, like Job, we should declare, though you slay me, yet will I worship you. Hallelujah, somebody. We should take comfort in that God specializing in turning bad, horrible situations into something good. How he's going to do it, we may not know. It may not seem possible, but all things are possible with God. In our pain, our loss, discomfort, distress, may we hold on to God's promises, which are yes in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah, somebody. That is faith right there. I don't know how you will do it, Lord, but I trust that you are going to do it. Angels, brothers and sisters, do not act on their own accord, but they follow God's instructions. So we must praise God from all who blessings flow. Praise him